It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels here with members of Frightened Rabbit. Introduce yourselves so they know your voices.
I am Scott.
I'm Grant. Very similar voice to
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
This is Gordon.
The similarity is of a sibling variety.
Yeah, yeah,
it's not just, you know, the audio. You know, if this was...
Well, but it helps for harmonies, too. So
you
can
also tell because I'm funnier. So that's the only way that you can tell.
I'll probably be pretty boring. Anything that's said that isn't really doesn't sound that interesting has probably come from Grant.
And anything that doesn't make sense, that'll probably be me.
That'll probably be Gordon.
Well, we've established everyone's persona in the band, and that's good. That was half my interview.
Right.
Oh, I'll see you later.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's great having you guys. As they just mentioned, jokingly, I hope, they're already drunk this morning, which is great. On a serious note... Man, what a tremendous album, Pedestrian Versus.
Oh, thank you.
It's just a great album. And apparently you spent a considerable amount of time both making the record, or shall I say the record deciding when it was made. You know, it seemed like there was a process to it that you really hadn't perhaps done on other albums you put out.
It's true. I mean, we changed the process, you know, and in fact, the very fact that I'm saying we means the process changed because it used to be a very solitary thing. I would write, demo, arrange the songs, bring them to the band. Small changes would be made by members, but generally they were quite complete by the time they heard them. So from the outset this time, we had everyone involved. I was the consistent presence, I guess. I was there the whole time, and others came and went. But at least everyone was aware of the songs from the outset. Now that does present itself with some kind of some teething problems, you know, because it's a new way of working for us. But we thought it was important enough and exciting enough that we wanted to pursue it. And once we hit our stride, the songs came quite quickly, you know. But yeah, having spent that much time on that writing process. We then wanted to get, of course, you want to get the recording right. And we waited for the right producer, the right studio.
And there was a part of that. You know, you've had two producers in a row now that by your own admission, brought an important part of the process.
I would always hope that would be the case, you know. I don't want someone who's just going to sit and press record, you know. That's the whole point is you bring the songs to a certain point. And then hopefully everyone's willing to let them, you know, grow again once they get into the studio. So Leo, you know, Peter Kaitis in the past, and this time Leo Abrahams, he really subtly brought them a new lease of life, you know. Because by that point, some of the songs feel old to us. And so to bring them into, a new space, give them, you know, some fresh breath, it was great. So this is called Backyard Skulls.
Secrets are smothered in dirt underneath paving stones, lying waiting to be told. Some stay hidden whilst some get found like a long lost soul, like a skull beneath the ground, the backyard skulls. Oh, those backyard skulls are not deep enough to never be found. Here lies the first time that I was wrong. There is still no sign, no accident. The ancient encounters with foreign skins. deep enough to never be found through patio doors. Lies century upon century of skulls untold. There is hushed the suburban adultery, and below our homes, underneath the lawns, we keep white silent skulls. They are smiling at the hypocrisy in the backyard. Skulls deep beneath the ground. All the backyard skulls, not deep enough to never be. The backyard skulls deep beneath the ground. All those backyard skulls are not deep enough to never be found. Deep enough to never be found. Deep enough to never be found.
Well, you've been known, you know, to pursue, you know, an elaborate, you know, big production.
Yeah.
And I think in reading some of the pieces I've seen, other interviews and some articles are written, I guess there was a cognizance going into this, like, A, it's a major label album, and yeah. B, where's our identity? And basically, when is an album, you know, when have we done enough and when are we throwing in the kitchen sink and everything else? There were some of those factors going into the making of this too, yeah?
I think, you know, it was specifically the last record that we thought the way to make a big album was to just layer part upon part upon part, to almost make it physically bigger, you know?
Right.
So that it looks bigger on the computer screen. And, you know, that's not really the way to do it. It's a kind of naive way to do it. I this time round, there wasn't any conscious decision to make the record sound a particular way, but just to avoid that process.
We sort of discussed that, right way back, that sort of at the end of the, or the middle of the touring of the last album cycle, sort of, you know, stripping it back or getting to more vital parts, more like what the sort of first record had been, sort of thing.
Much like we're hearing the versions today.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Showing that the essential songs are there.
Yeah.
Well, once you've got the, you know, spending time on songs, and I think we were all aware, I certainly was, that it was, even at that early stage, it was some of the best stuff we'd written, to then go into the studio and kind of, I don't know, blanket that in sound and, you know, sonic mush in a way on the last record, would be detrimental. We wouldn't be doing the songs a service. And so we were much more decisive with what went on and is it serving a purpose? You know, does it need to be there? If it didn't, then it was gone. We weren't, and I think that's part of it being a collaboration is, you know, I get very attached to parts. And whether or not they're the right part or not is like, well, I really like that. Staying on. And my decision was fine. Now we had a discussion about things. You know, we had a much more open kind of forum. And it's so much to the benefit of the album and to the songs. This is called Late March, Death March. I cursed in church again and the hand claps all fell quiet. I watched a statue of you cry and a candle is blown. So we start the black march home through a steel and silent night. There's a funeral in your eyes and a drunk priest at your side. Staggering sermons never wash, and there's no reproach from a lit touch
paper bowls. Got stubborn, marrowing bastard bones. Can we just get home? We'll sleep this off. Throw some sorries and then do it all again. Well, folded arms clutch homicide. Bridge is up and the river's high. And this march, death march, march, death march. Well, there is no God, so I'll say my breath, pay silence for the road ahead. And this march, death march, march, death march. I went too far. As we walk through an hour-long pregnant pause, no grain of truce can be born. My bridge is burned, so perhaps we'll shortly learn that it was arson all along. Can we just get home, sleep this off? We'll throw some sorries in land, do it all again. Well, like Bulwer said, less heart and more head. So unfurl that bread, unplant those seeds of doubt. Oh, folded arms clutch homicide. The bridge is out and the river's high. And this march, death march, march, death march. There is no God, so I save my breath, be silence for the road ahead. And this march, death march, march, death march. Dead balloons and withered flowers are sorry, cannot save me now. In this march, death march, march, death march. Think I went too far. Too far.
He didn't want to remove, and in the same way, you know, you have this, you mentioned the major label fear thing, in that you don't want to remove the inherent character of the band, right, to, you know, to bring a more kind of accessible sound. That's not really not the point of, it wasn't what we wanted to do, and we realized it wasn't what Leo wanted to do either. So he was a really subtle filter, and he just brought the whole thing together at the very end. And there's things on there that, you know, are just, we discovered when we started playing the songs live, it's like, oh, you know, I really miss that tiny little clicky thing that Leo put in there. We're gonna have to get that from somewhere. It's in the details, you know. And but the to the front, to the fore, is the band and our personalities, hopefully.
Well, and fascinating concept of to the front and to the fore. The band has had an ebullience. It's almost gonna sound cliched to say an anthemic, you know, sense, you know, that consistently you've put the passion out, and in turn the songs became quote unquote big. And
right.
You know, it's just a slight definition, but I'm now hearing how you're cognizant of that on so many levels. And yes, you did bring up, you know, the fact that, which is just stunning that we even have to have these conversations that, oh, if we have a really accessible, great song that millions of people like, and it's on a major label, are we not cool anymore?
Yeah.
It's crazy talk, but it I is. Know it's out there in the ether.
We
yeah.
tried to put that to the very, very back of our minds and just make, and it's easier to do it. And I will say this, like, the label did not meddle. They did not, like, get in heavy-handed, didn't mention the word single to us once. We just wrote the record that we wanted to, and
their concern was always with the album. You know, I think they signed a band to on their fourth record.
Right,
they knew the history, and that was important when we met them before we signed.
10 years worth of you guys of work, working hard, I mean, and figuring it out and figuring out who you were.
And yeah,
compared to just, you know, some other labels might have a different view, you know, but it was very much, well, we know what you've done before and we don't want to change that. We just want to bring it to new people. You know, and that's
we want to advance your
exactly
cause.
Exactly what we're looking for.
Right. And that's what we wanted to do. So in that sense, we were in agreement. And I've never really understood the resolutely indie outlook of wishing to remain niche for no reason.
Right.
We don't purposely. We're not purposely trying to be big. I just like music that does that.
You mentioned the fact that singles and the fact that the Woodpile is a bona fide breakout record here in the States, which you love, and it's been a hit already in the UK, and you're already, I guess, on the verge of having a second track break in the UK.
Yeah. It's, I mean, this,
what's wrong with this? It sounds like how it's supposed to be.
We're turning into a band.
This is the Woodpile.
Far from the electric floor, removed from the red meat market, I look for a fire door. And escape from the drums and barking, beat after all social charms. Struck dumb by the hand of fear, fall into the corner's arms. Same way that I've done for years, I'm trapped in a collapsing building. Come find me now, we'd hide out. We'll speak in our secret tongues. We come back to my corner, spent too long alone tonight. Would you come and brighten my corner? That wood which to ignite. There's no spark on a dampened floor. A snap limb in an unlit pipe. Won't you come and break down this door? I'm trapped in an abandoned building. Come find me now, we'll hide out. We'll speak in our secret tongues. We come back to my corner. Spent too long alone tonight. Come and brighten my corner.
The idea of a great song that touches millions of people's hearts to become something that you want to avoid.
Yeah, it's not
negative. If I have any advice as an old guy,
all right.
don't adhere to that philosophy because you'll have a great cult.
Yeah.
But what's wrong with having a song that millions of people can truly love and take to heart?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I don't see it.
Not a lot. No. Yeah. Well, I mean, generally, the feedback from all the radio play and things like that and the signing to Atlantic has been, you know, well done, you deserve it.
Yeah, and the reviews have been great. I think you've managed to do the neat trick. You've managed to make, you know, an album that has the accessibility you talk about, sure, but retains all the integrity of the band. And there's always going to be a few grumbly bloggers that, you know, the minute more than five people know you, you're
right.
Not cool,
of course,
anymore.
That's fine.
But it seems like all the reviews have been very positive, and certainly here in the States, you can feel that the awareness level and the attention is growing leaps and bounds, and you deserve it.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you.
Well, and today we took it to a new height, you know, having come on 88.5 KCSN in Los Angeles.
Yes,
now,
absolutely.
You know,
I think we're done. I think we should.
That's it.
Going to quit now, yeah?
Yeah, I'm finished. Let's go home.
Peaked.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God bless. It was nice that you guys decided to end your career. Or at least doing an interview with me. It might not be the first time it killed someone's career. But, but in all seriousness, we love the record. We love the band. We know you have fans that have loved all of the records you put out, including Tristan,
all right,
our engineer today. And we want to thank you for coming by. It's Frightened Rabbit joining us live today on 88.5 KCSN.